We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. This is Jimmy Clark with Today in Ag, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Say America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I think the rain's kind of moved out far western Oklahoma, but nice rains to see. I guess ours reset here. 8:30 this morning, it was 1.31 inches here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanine Center, but I think I had 1.5, 1.6 at my house. And let's see here. Let's just check it out real quick. 24-hour rainfall accumulation, according to the Mezzanet. 1.61 at Hollis, 1.68 at Mangum. Hobart's 1.4. Eric, 1.4. Here at Elk City, 1.21. Up in Dewey County, 1.34. I think everybody got some rain. They probably would have wished for a little more rain up in northwestern Oklahoma, but Arnett, 1.7, 0.67 at Woodward, half inch at Buffalo, 3/4 at Slapout. Over there east, Lahoma, 0.58. So we got some, I think we have some flood warnings. We are still under a flood watch here in all western Oklahoma, from Oklahoma City West, even out the whole Texas Panhandle and all the Oklahoma Panhandle, still under a flood watch. Looks like parts of Harmon, Greer, Jackson, Kiowa, southwestern Kiowa, and parts of northern Tillman, you're under a flood advisory. And around Tipton and Grandfield down there, you're under a flood warning. And very tip of Cotton County down south is right there by Wichita Falls is under a flash flood warning. And then over in Blaine County, Canadian County, parts of northern Caddo, it's under a flood advisory. So that's what I know. Nothing going on out in Texas. The only thing I found flood-wise is the around Fort Worth, Decatur, Weatherford, down in that area is under a flood warning right now. So that's all I know. Hope that helps you out a little bit. Okay, let's see here. What else is going on? Not a whole lot. Let's check out what happened overnight in our big old world of agriculture. I didn't even shoot Brandon a text, so I'll try to call him during the break, see if he's coming on today to talk about what happened at the Western Oklahoma and Elk City livestock auctions. Overnight, shortly after 6 a.m. this morning, Central Time, July corn was up 2 cents at 4.56 and a quarter a bushel. July soybeans were 1 3/4 weaker at 10.43 3/4 per bushel. July soy meal was up 70 cents to 296.20 a short ton. And July soy oil decreased 0.41 cents to 48.32 cents a pound. July wheat markets were mixed in the early morning. Chicago Board of Trade wheat was in Chicago was up 3.5 cents to 5.34 3/4 cents a bushel. Kansas City wheat was up a half a penny at 5.33 1/4 a bushel. Minneapolis wheat dropped 2 3/4 cents at 6.06 3/4 a bushel. Cole Rensback, commodities broker at Clois Commodity Advisors, said grain markets started the week under pressure, trading firmly lower across the board. Corn fell sharply as bull spreads continue to unwind. Export inspections of U.S. grain fell week over week. Wheat assessments was down from 649,000 metric tons to 310,000 metric tons in the 7 days it ended last Friday, May the 1st, nearly on par with the 339,000 tons during the same week last year. Corn inspections were at 1.61 million tons, according to the agency. That's down from 1.67 million tons the week prior, but still well ahead of 1.3 million tons estimated during the same period a week a year earlier. Soybean examinations for offshore delivery declined to 324,000 metric tons. That's down from 457 the previous week, 457,000 tons, that is, below the, but it's still, and it was below what happened last year, 358,000 tons inspected. Since the start of the marketing year on September 1st, the USDA has inspected 42.52 million metric tons of corn for export. That's up from 33 million tons during the same time frame last year. Soybean inspections since the beginning of September now stand at 43.46 million metric tons. That's up from 39.1 million. Wheat assessments since the start of the grain marketing year on June 1st were reported at 19.77 million metric tons. That's up from 17.28 million that were inspected during the same period last year. Weather-wise, in our farm belt, man, the old mega block pattern, huh? Imagine that being in the conversation. Over the continental United States with the upper low over the Ohio Valley and another upper low over the Southwest will begin to break down over the next couple of days. So it'll just be stormy through the plains, northern plains, that is, and the upper Midwest, and see what happens there. I think that's pretty much it for us this week. We got slight chances, but other than that, I think that's it. And I've seen a high 80s and a low 90 next week, but then it cools right back off. But no chances of rain next week. That's a long ways off. I wanted to share something with you that I've talked about a couple times, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years. Big ag business. You hear farmers talk and ranchers talk about how big ag business controls the farming world. Well, here's a really good example of what happens to farmers and ranchers every day. So Dairy Gold is a milk company, and they're based over there in Washington. But I just wanted to, some of you might have seen this or might not have. Dairy Gold has slashed milk payments to farmers by approximately 20 to 25% to finance cost overruns at a 500,000 square foot processing plant under construction in Pasco, Washington. Dairy Gold Chairman Tim Knuzzi, something like that, told the cooperative's members, because this is a cooperative where they sell their milk and stuff, in mid-April that payments will be reduced by $4 per hundredweight, approximately 11.5 gallons, through at least the end of June and probably the rest of the year. End of June or the rest of the year, which is it? Dairy Gold will divert $2.50 of the $4 reduction to finish the Pasco plant this year, according to a letter to members signed by him. The remainder balance will go towards operating losses. The cooperative will evaluate check reductions monthly. Dairy Gold broke ground on the plant at the Port of Pasco in 2022. The $600 million facility was scheduled to open in early 2024. The plant is approximately $300 million over budget, according to the people familiar with the matter. Dairy Gold declined to confirm the cost overruns. Dairy Gold spokesman Chris Arnold said in an email to cooperative members he agreed to support capital investments. Pasco construction is moving along, and we should have more to share on the opening and beginning of operation shortly. Pasco said the 107-year-old Seattle-based cooperative has about 300 members in Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana, and has 11 processing plants in the Northwest. Skagit County dairy farmer Jason Vander Kool, a co-op member, said high prices for beef and bull calves have softened the blow, but the milk check reduction could still make the difference between making money and losing money. It's a big deal. There are a lot of guys who don't want to quit farming but can't keep farming if this continues. So basically what happened here is it's a co-op, and the $600 million processing plant is $300 million over budget and already a full year past when it was supposed to open. So guess who takes the blow? The old boy out on the farm on the county road. And sounds like they overspent. And there's a lot of this going on all over the United States with some co-ops. Some co-ops aren't making some very wise decisions, and they just, they're breaking the farmers. I don't know what to say. The farmers and the ranchers. But it just shows that the big ag is just too heavy at the top, and they've overspent. They estimate this facility here is going to cost $600 million. Now it's at $900 million. They're not even done. They're not even open yet. It says what they're over budget so far. And lots to blame there. You can blame management, which is probably a big part of it. Cost. But this was well after COVID, so they can't blame all that on there. So I don't know. It's a shame, you know, when the farmer and the rancher, yes, the beef prices right now are up really well, and they're good. But according to some big dogs out speculating on this, if you put inflation on it with the 2014 cattle prices, live cattle should still be around, fat should be around 230, and they're at 215 today. So, I mean, it's not just there yet, but equipment, fuel, fertilizers, everything skyrocketed in the last 6 to 10 years. Crop prices have come down quite a bit, or either not gone up. It's just danged if you do, danged if you don't, you know. It's, I don't know, just something to think about. But, man, that dairy goat deal in there, that's not the first I've heard of some co-ops in the United States just blowing their budgets way out of deal and breaking the co-ops, and a lot of farmers getting hurt in the way. So we'll see. We're going to take a break. I'll see if I can get Brandon Hickey on the phone with me, and we'll go talk about the sales at the sale barn. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boombacks, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
hay wrap is what people use in their balers, the farmers, when they want to, you know, baling up hay, it wraps it up, is better than twine. So it's like one consistency, holds everything together, lasts longer, easier to cut off. Well, we started selling it because we got asked for it, because nowhere around here to really buy it, the good kind of net wrap that we have. So we found a vendor that's good price, and now we carry it. We've got it. Camrock is right south of Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City, Oklahoma.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April the 28th. 623 head were sold. 5 head of steers at $396 brought $412.50. 11 at $528 brought $373. 5 at $663 brought $326. 44 at $873 brought $273. 28 at $937 brought $269. 6 at $965 brought $264. 5 at $1,033 brought $261. 5 head of heifers at $467 brought $370. 4 at $479 brought $336. 3 at $507 brought $327.50. 7 at $524 brought $322, 2 at $555 brought $316, 30 at $829 brought $255.50, 22 at $841 brought $254, butcher cows $110 to $164, butcher bulls brought $140 to $211.50, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of today. Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Ooh, you got to turn that button up if you're going to hear anything. All right, everybody, here's your ag weather update. I picked out in the Texas Panhandle, I picked Lipscomb, 54 degrees, humidity's 89, dew point's 51, the winds are out of the east at 18 miles an hour with wind gust up to 26, peak wind gust today, 32 miles an hour, 1.28 inches of rain so far this month. And then 8-inch soil temperature, 60 degrees. Well, he is alive. I found him. Brandon Hickey, big boss at the Elk City Livestock and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Happy Tuesday, buddy.
Yeah, you too, Jimmy.
Is the water the runneth over around you?
Yes. The pond is running around the edge of the dam as we speak.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, nothing. It's wet country. What a nice April and now the beginning of May that we've had. It's unbelievable.
Well, you know, having the ponds full going into the summer is just all I can say is a blessing.
Yes, absolutely. We're set up for the best spring we've had in a long, long time, and hopefully just carry right on through into the summer. Good grass all the way through. That'll be a nice thing for a change.
Yeah, KJ and I was talking downstairs earlier this morning, and you know, I don't remember exactly what the number is. I think our average rainfall, like for Beckham County, is 26, 27 inches, somewhere in that neighborhood, and we're already at almost 33.
Wow.
For the last 365 days, so I hope we blow that record out. I mean, we need some time off. We got some stuff to harvest. Some people's got some hay down that needs rolled up, and other than that, you know. And forget, today is Hay Day Tuesday. I failed to mention that at the end of the last segment. Today is Hay Day Tuesday, brought to you by Great Plains Bank, 580-225-9697. If you have some hay you want to sell, and I got a friend over at Cordell's got some pretty good, nice hay equipment that I'm going to mention for him just because it's one of those banders to band the square bales together, and them are far and few between. You need one, Brandon?
I do not. I get my square bales brought in already banded together. So.
Well, you're no fun today. No. You know, I'll have that coming up here in the last segment when I get done with Brandon. So, Brandon, let's start at Elk City Friday. Yeehaw. I mean, even with it was wet, you still had a really good sale.
We did have a nice run, a little few more than what we was expecting for as wet and muddy as it is, a nice run of cattle. And I was impressed with how many cattle showed up, were able to get in, get there, and was impressed with the buying power that walked in to go to buying the cattle. It was a good day.
Yeah. I think the good thing about rains is if you have a decent sale, you're going to have the buyers there because they don't have nothing else to do either.
Yeah, you get all the local guys to come in there. You know, to even more so to compete with the every week order buyers, and you get a bunch more of the local guys coming in there to restock some pastures and fields and whatnot. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, you had some 338 pounders bring over $5, and some 309 pounders bring over $5, and then the four weights were in the 4 to 5 range. I'm guess I don't know what the top selling 400 pounder 400 weights was, but really there's nothing sticks out. It was just all good on both the girls and the boys side, unless you see something on the heifer side that I'm not seeing, which you're the expert, not me.
Yep, no, it was just pretty well good across the board. Everything, the spreads were kind of the same as what we've been seeing week in and week out between the boys and the girls, but there was good competition and good bidder activity on all weights and all classes. And you know, shorter run for sure, but lots of interest in everything that we run through the ring.
Right, and butcher bulls and cows, nothing's changed there. If you got some meat on your bone, you're going to get some money.
Yeah, absolutely. And, and even the thin ones, too, bringing really, really good money. Some of them going to the kill plants, and some of them actually going to feed to try to put some more meat on them. So, yeah, it's just it's a good time. It's the prices are phenomenal on everything, replacement females, bred cows, pairs, butcher cows, butcher bulls, stocker calves. We're getting up there close to all time highs on everything. The really, really have started paying up on the fat cattle coming out of the feed yard the last 2 weeks. It really got a big bump there. That's perking these feedlots up even more of, thinking about things to come and how things could be continuing on down the road. And they're having to pay up because of the light numbers to try to keep their pens full, and that's then causing the stalker guys to pay up to put the try to keep cattle on their pasture. We got more pasture than we probably had in years, and less cattle to put on it. So but that's all right too. It's always good to. Always good to have unused grass, rather than overgrazing. So that nothing wrong with that either.
Oh, I know. I was looking at those. I stopped and checked some Bruce's new heifers yesterday, and mm-hmm. The suckers are so fat they're laying down. They ain't even up eating during the day. They supposed to rest at night, not at day. But they're so fat that it was pretty good. But I wanted to. Read something to you real quick since we got just it take me a couple minutes here to go over this with you. I thought I want your point of view on this, and this is Dr. Peel's output yesterday on Cow-Calf Corner, and he says most of the southern plains received significant precipitation in April, providing a much improved pasture, hay, and pond water situation in Oklahoma. 5 of the 9 climate divisions had either the first or second wettest period on record for April 4th through May 3rd ever, resulting in the basically the second wettest period statewide. The immediate drought threat has been greatly reduced and has sparked more talk about heifer retention and more producers among more producers and lenders. The April Cattle on Feed report showed that the number of heifers and feedlot has dropped, and it appears that it will likely continue to drop in the coming months. The next quarterly check on heifers to figure out whether it's going on or not, Dr. Peel said, will be in July when the mid-year cattle inventory report will also be available. So quickly, it says increased heifer retentions in 2025 can have two components. One form of heifer retention is unplanned. That's impulse breeding of young yearling heifers that was not noted as replacement heifers in January inventory. These heifers would have been counted as part of other heifers. And then additionally, beef producers may increase retention of heifer calves this year, of the ones that are on the ground right now, for next year. And if the heifer retention is accelerating, The most immediate impact will be reduced feeder cattle supplies available for placements in feedlots. I would expect to see feedlot inventories declining more notably in the coming months. So what do you think about that?
I think it's probably pretty accurate. I think we do have a little bit more of that impulse retention showing up that, you know, that maybe they weren't planning on before, but now with all the rain and whatnot, they are planning on. But there's not an overabundance of big, nice, fancy heifers out there, you know, still left out there for people to change their mind about it and keep and breed. But I think there is some of that going on. I would agree totally with that, that there is some of that starting to happen a little bit. I don't think it's happening to a significant amount enough to really show up in that July inventory he's talking about. I think, you know, I think we'll see an increase, but I think it's probably going to be pretty slight. You know, there's a few more people. So back in the early part of the year, you know, the people that I was talking to was like, you know, I'd kind of like to keep some heifers, but they're worth so much, I'm just going to go ahead and turn them into cash. And now towards the end of the spring, there's a few more showing up that are saying, my gosh, my steers are going to bring so much money, I'm just going to keep all my heifers. So it's been a little bit of a change from the beginning of 2025to now getting into the spring of 2025. That, you know, the markets just kept creeping up. The feeder cattle kept just being worth a little bit more. The calves off the cows continue to creep up and be worth a little bit more. Seems like every week we get a little bit of an increase. The fat cattle getting a little bit higher. So I am seeing a definite change in the trend of, you know, like I said, early in the year, they're worth too much, I'm just going to get rid of them, to now my steers are bringing enough, I'm going to be able to afford to keep my heifers. So.
Right. And, yeah, because of tax purposes, right? Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Oh, I can't afford to pay no more taxes. If it was me, which, you know, I'm not no rocket science or no accountant, or I would be sitting here behind this mic, but, you know, just sell and pay the taxes on it and you'll be back square one.
and I don't know. I got a serious question. Maybe this is just me. It's always bothered me to pay taxes, because I always figured the government was wasting it. But now that I know the exact things they've been wasting it on, it bothers me even more than it did before.
Yeah, no joke. Oh, yeah. I mean, we need to, what was that deal I seen last night? They gave some country down there in Central America or South America $2.5 million to monitor transgender boarding crossings. What the hell? I mean, come on. And it's, they're finding out there's a lot of buddy deals going on. And it's just, it bothers me even more now. But, keeping with the cattle prices the way they are right now, keeping some heifers back, and if you got the grass to do it, that's like money in the bank.
You bet. Yeah. It looks really good going forward. And everybody should be growing grass. I mean, if you weren't seriously overstocked and overgrazed to begin with, you know, we sure are looking like we're entering a recovery mode on this, below average moisture we've had for the last several years. We look like we're kind of maybe entering a period where maybe we're going to, at least get a good spring and get a good start to our grass and maybe recover some of these pastures and whatnot. So, you know, everybody should have some pretty decent grass, and the places that were suffering a little bit should be able to get some recovery time. Hopefully some of them pastures are getting pulled off of and rested and allowing some root growth, to get started back and recoup some of these pastures. This would be a really good thing. And to get some young cows put back out there, put back in the country, some bred heifers and whatnot to get started back would be a good thing.
Yeah, it'd be a great thing. I know it's raining this week and you've probably got some on the hook, but yeah, you think you have a pretty decent sale. We don't want to get any more rain there at Elk City Friday.
Yeah, we should have a decent sale. I don't know what to expect just yet because it is awfully wet, so I don't know how many of the consignments that we've got on the list will actually be able to show up, but we do have a pretty good jag of young bred cows and pairs on the books to show up if they're able to get them out and get them there. Got a couple of different consignments of those, as well as some old bred cows and some old pairs as well. We've really got a lot of cattle on the books that have kind of just been getting pushed back for the last couple of weeks while we've been having all this rain. We just can't get to them, but we're still coming. So you know, when we get a dry out, we're going to have a week or two of pretty big runs, I think, at both barns, the graze out cattle coming off of the wheat showing up at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, and then a lot of these cows and calves and the fall born calves that we've got lined up to come to Elk City, that's just kind of getting pushed back a little bit over the rain. So we'll have a good rain. I don't know if we'll get dried out enough today, tomorrow, and Thursday to have that big run just yet. We may still be a week out. Need a little bit more dry out time before we get a good big run at Elk City, but it's coming at some point. We just gotta get a little bit of this mud dried up to get to it.
Right, and see, my brother-in-law from Kansas City came into town last week, so I didn't get to run by the sale barn after the show. Kephart stuff wasn't there Friday, was it?
No, not.
Oh, cool. Friday. Yeah, we're gonna make history at Elk City, Oklahoma, at the Elk City Livestock Auction. Even if I got to bring everybody a bottle of Makers and a bottle of Crown, we'll get them bidding. and have fun doing it.
Yes, sir.
Let's drive down I-40 to Western Oklahoma. Yesterday, you had a really nice sale. 1,226 head were sold. Anything stick out yesterday?
Everything was similar to Elk City. Everything was outstanding. The market was just great across the board on everything from the light to the big, and we had pretty good mixture. I'm really very pleasantly surprised at the run that we had there yesterday with the, again, as muddy as it is, as wet as it is, very pleasantly surprised to be able to get that good of a head count there yesterday. But you know, the thing that probably really amazed me was the lightweight steer calves again, especially in that four weight category. I mean, my goodness, it was just like everybody thought, I'm going to have grass, and that's what I want, a four weight steer bull calf. And boy, them things really jumped
four
up
to
there.
$5, huh?
Yep. They really jumped up there Monday and had lots of interest, and we actually, they jumped that much, and we had a couple of our regular stocker calf buyers that it was just too wet, they didn't even show up, and they still had that much of a jump. So you know, it pretty phenomenal what some of them things are bringing. Again, like I said a while ago, it's kind of some excitement out there about having the pasture. It looks like we're going to have some good grass pasture, and you know, and if it'll ever stop raining long enough for some of these guys to get in the field, you know, we could have some good hay grazer, cane graze and stuff like that coming up this summer. So you know, people want to get some inventory, and boy, it seemed like everybody, like I say, was really, really interested in and the heifers too. The heifers took a pretty good jump too. But
boy, yeah, I see that.
There was a lot of competition on them four weight boys.
Yeah, and the four weight girls here. I was sitting here looking. There was some brought 420, and yep. I'm sure I'm going to guess that was the high sellers. But that's really, really super good. And then you had some big loads. You had one. Looked like run from Clarendon out here. That was some heifers weighing 833. So that was nice. 262.
Yep, and they was fairly fleshy compared to most of the cattle we sold, you know, so they got just a little bit of a dockage for showing up some flesh, but the cattle that was coming off the wheat pasture were even a little bit higher than that if they, you know. That's the thing that's been amazing to me, that the wheat pasture, it's been good, but these cattle haven't been just getting gobby fat. They've been putting on a lot of frame, and they're pretty attractive on the amount of flesh that they've got on them, you know, compared to how good the pasture is. You know, we've seen it years in the past that the wheat's so good, and you know, those cattle just, you know, get fat pongs all over them, and you know, when they, the feedlots want to back off on what they give for them a little bit, because they're going to back up for a little bit while they make the transition from the forage diet to the more of the grain diet. But that hasn't been happening as much this year. The cattle have grown and they've done exceptionally well, but they haven't put on as much flesh as what we have seen sometimes in the past, and which has been really good for the, you know, the buyers not shying away from them for fear of you know, the cattle backing up a little bit while they make that transition. So,
oh, awesome. Well, you got anything lined up for Clinton? I know it was just over yesterday, Western Oklahoma. A little ways out, I guess it'll probably dry out. You'll probably have another good run Monday, if I was guessing right.
I think we probably, if we'll get some dry out time, I think we'll have a pretty good run the next two Mondays. I've got quite a bit on the books expecting to come, mostly wheat pasture feeder cattle coming off the wheat pasture, you know, anywhere from six weights all the way up to 11 weights coming in, you know, on the books for the next 2 weeks. If it'll dry out where they can get to them and get them out and get them there, I think we'll have a couple of pretty good graze out pasture runs, and I think it may be kind of over after that. We may slow back down a little bit. I think it'll, you know, take a couple of weeks to work through a pretty good backlog of cattle from the rain, but once we dry out enough to get a couple of good weeks in, then I think these numbers might slow back down a little bit going into Memorial Day in the 1st of June. Back off a little bit, I think these feedlots are gearing up. I think they better get them while they can here coming up the next couple of weeks, as soon as we see this dry out, because I think they sure liable to get a little bit short and hard to find once we get past Memorial Day.
Right, and then well, I didn't get to go over there come to the sale Friday, you know, and then there wasn't any church at our church at Carter. Because of the rodeo here at Elk City. And so I haven't been able to give Cousin Kay much attention. So hopefully with me giving her a break from me, then maybe her cooking will be better and I'll see her this Friday. Did I just say that out loud?
You said that out loud. And her cooking would be better.
Yeah, well, I mean, her pork chops, they're about 2-3 weeks ago, were kind of thin, and but you at least got two of them. And what else is it? I don't remember what her and the Cotton King got me in trouble about, but them two don't need to be at children's birthday parties together, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, somehow you got brought up in that whole
thing. I know. And anyway, but I wanted to give you an example on what's going on at the feedlots. So I got a batch of calves down from the feedlot to the processor down here at Sayre here last week. And these are heifers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Live weights were 1683 and 1637.
Mm-hmm.
Things are looking up.
Yeah, that's what that. You
but
know,
that's what people don't understand. They need to understand that they're putting more weight on them at the feedlots, even though we're in a shortage.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're putting more carcass, making them carcasses bigger and bigger. You're starting to see, you know, some of them grids back off a little bit on the big carcass discounts, because they're needing the more meat, they're needing the more availability of beef to put in the packages, and yeah, you know, all those especially the northern buyers that don't have to deal quite so much with those large carcass discounts. You know, when they're calling in and checking out on cattle, they all want to know, well, are they large framed? You know, will they finish out at 14, 15, 1600 pounds or even bigger, you know, that's what they're all wanting to know right now, because they're planning on feeding them, you know, and sure enough getting them big. And, And everybody wants to know about the frame size. That, you know, they're a lot more interested right now in the frame size than in the ribeye area or the depth, you know, all of that kind of stuff that they a lot of times they want to know about, you know, how wide that ribeye area is, how broad that ribeye area is, and you know, what are the cattle are going to really hit the grid good? Are they going to grade choice and prime? And, you know, and they're still interested in that stuff, but they want them to grade choice and prime weighing, you know, 1,600 pounds and not do it at 1,200, 1,300, 1,400 pounds.
So. Yeah, they were talking a lot last week at that beef cattle conference there at Hemp Hill County. You know, the difference between the beef from the 80s and 90s to today is the quality is so much better. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because back then it was just beef. And and now, you know, people do. That's cheap. That's what I'll eat this week. That's prime. Yeah. That's what I'll have Sunday after church, you know. And
right.
So there's a lot more options out there. But one quick question for you, because we're already past my due time. I'm in trouble anyway. Don't matter. One quick question. A gentleman from Cooperton asked, he said, also hearing that the price of cow-calf pairs is causing a lot of people to retain heifers if they have enough grass, even if it will take 3 years to get a calf out of them. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, I mean, that without a doubt is happening as well. We're getting into a situation where we've got grass, you know, we've got rain, it's growing the grass. Okay, I can start restocking, and then you go to hunting and trying to find these young heavy bred cows and these young cow calf pairs, and they're extremely hard to find. But then when you do find them, they have got a very big price tag on them, and it's still most of them that you find. It's still the three calves to pay off the young bred cow or pair. It's still three calves. But again, you know, it's a little unnerving to be thinking, am I for sure going to be getting $1,700-$1,800 a head out of these next three
in
calves?
In 3 years,
you know,
yeah.
Am I going to get it out of the first two, and then going to be like, oh crap, now what am I going to do?
So it definitely
some of that happening. But you definitely some pair prices out there that are getting up there. Again, they're not necessarily out of line compared to our usual ratio that we work off of. You know, a three calves to pay it off. It's still kind of in that same line. But you know, I don't blame people for being a little unnerved about, you know, thinking I'm for sure going to have three $1,700 calves to pay off this pair that I just bought. So.
Yeah, I think a guy can have some confidence and just go with it unless something crazy happens, and it can. But, hey, that's every year we're thinking that. So we got to go with it. But Mr. Brandon Hickey, big shot at the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Thank you for joining me today like you do every week. And people appreciate your time on the show.
I appreciate the opportunity, Jimmy. Good to visit with you.
All right, see you later. All right, we're going to take a Stockman's Veterinary Clinic break. When we come back, I'll have your ag weather update for northwestern Oklahoma. We're going to take another short break, and then we'll have Hay Day Tuesday, that last deal brought to you by a Great Plains Bank. And like I said, I got a few deals of hay here from last week that I didn't get to do, but if you got some, 580-225-9697, sell it right out of the field, whatever you're doing. If you got hay in the field or you got some wet hay you're getting ready to roll up here in 3 or 4 days and you want to sell that, I'm your man. Bring it on. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Get ready, Western Oklahoma. The Wild Plum Jam is back and louder than ever. Coming to Sarah on Saturday, July 19th, it's a Red Dirt Revival you won't want to miss. Live on stage, Cody Canada and the Departed. You ain't the only one. Stoney LaRue. It's Oklahoma breakdown. You sure do got you crying. And Western Oklahoma's own Tyler Wilhelm. jamming on Route 66 in Sayre. One night, one stage, and a whole lot of red dirt music magic under the Oklahoma sky. Lock in your spot now. Tickets will go fast. Get yours today at KECOFM.com. That's KECOFM.com. The 2025 Wild Plum Jam in Sayre, Oklahoma, powered by KECO 96.5 FM. Be there.
Hey, farmers. It's Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. It's time to plant summer cover crops. We carry the best quality cover crop seeds available. If you need ag chemicals, we can ship bigger orders straight from the warehouse to your farm with unbeatable prices. And as always, we're an authorized livestock nutrition center dealer. Call us, visit us on South Randall in Elk City, and follow us on Facebook. SEI Agritech, your partner in productivity.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Your work is finally done for the day, so you put up the equipment, get into your pickup, and drive home. You eat a hot supper, take a hot shower, and sit down on the couch. Feels good to be home, done with the day's work. Done a lot sooner than you thought you'd be. This day could have gone a lot worse. You could still be out there trying to finish because of all the lost time you could have had this morning. About 20 minutes into your day, you busted a hose. You'd barely begun your work when the equipment stopped. It just stopped. In the old days, that would have meant a couple hours lost time while you drove into town and had it replaced. But today, it took you just a few minutes, because a few months ago, you started having American Hose and Supply bring you hoses and fittings before you needed them. American Hose and Supply, inside the Camrock Building, next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. Or call 821-4413. Be ready when you bust a hose, and make the best of it.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in, I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through because I want to help you and then at least give them my 2 cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Northwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. Freedom. 56 degrees, dew points 54, humidity is 94%, the winds are out of the east at 15, 70, not 72, but 0.72 inches of rain in the last 10 days, 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature 65, sunset 8:28, 80% chance of rain showers today and 62 tonight, 90% chance of rain showers and 53 tomorrow, another 80% chance of rain showers and 66 degrees at Freedom. Stockman's Vet. Here we go. As most springtime calving is winding down, it's time to prepare for breeding season. We are here to help you with your AI project needs and supplies. We can assist with everything from planning to complete turnkey breeding services. Also, as bull turnout is approaching, please don't neglect to schedule your herd bulls for a complete breeding soundness exam. It's the cheapest and most effective way to help ensure your next calf crop. Spring is also a great time to treat our cows and calves for all internal and external parasites as well. We're seeing ticks and lice already affecting some herds with the great cattle prices. Let's visit. Make sure we are vaccinating our calves to help them maximize their health and value. We're here to help with all your livestock, horse, and pet needs whenever you need us. Stop by Stockman's Vet anytime at 1019 South Main Street in Elk City. Or call 225-0200 to schedule an appointment for after-hours emergency service. All right, let's take another quick break, Stockman's Vet Clinic break, and when we come back, I'll give you your Hobart Farm and Garden Southwestern Oklahoma Ag Weather Forecast and I got a little bit, some square bales of hay to sell, and I got a bander and a baler I want to tell you guys about. It's a good deal, or I wouldn't be talking about you. I mean, I don't know what the price, but the equipment's been taken care of if you're looking for that. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says. He says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage. You don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I've told multiple people that have business ideas that come in. I said, bring me everything you got, even if it's scratched on a napkin, and it doesn't have to be professional looking. I want to see what you went through, because I want to help you, and then at least give them my two cents. The loan's going to stand on its own. You know, I'm not going to decide based off you brought this on a napkin. The point is if they've thought it through, it makes you more comfortable. You get more comfortable with them. They also get more comfortable with you, because you're going to point out things that they may have thought of, didn't put down.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
My mom used to take me to the local dairy when I was a little girl, and I always was interested in learning where my food came from. I didn't grow up on a farm. I'm from the city, but please don't hold that against me. We owned a farm in Colorado and again here in western Oklahoma. My name's Becky Brown and my husband's name's Tony Tummins, and together we own BT Butchers, a mobile meat processor. We bring our trailers to you, your place processed your way. Please find us at B as in Becky, T as in Tony, Butchers.com. That's BTButchers.com. We would love to help you feed your family. The short wait list and two-day turnaround means we move pretty fast, and since we come to you, it really is convenient. Not bad for a girl from the city. We would love to help you feed your family.
Save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires through May 31st. Firestone Ag Tires are 30 to 40% off through May 31. Blair Tire and Feed is helping you get ready for planting season by helping you save money. Here's what you need to know right now. You can save 30 to 40% on Firestone Ag Tires at Blair Tire and Feed until the last day of May. Right now, get the tires you need for planting season and save money. For contact information, Google Blair Tire and Feed, or just drive to Blair and get your tires.
Are you looking for a new metal building that's built to last? Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone brings you top-tier craftsmanship and second-to-none quality with attention to detail. From luxury custom barn dominiums to shops or barns and commercial buildings, our buildings don't just look good, they're built to last with all custom weld-up, I-beam, and C-Perlin construction. From design to completion, we do it right. That's Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, get your pen and pencil ready. I'll give you some information here in just a second. First, your Hope Farm and Garden Ag weather update. I'm pick Grandfield, 60 degrees, humidity's 86, and winds out of east 24, wind gust up 30, 10.62 inches of rain in the last 10 days. That's over an inch of rain per day there. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil, temperature 62, sunset at 8:22, 90% chance of rain showers today, 20 tomorrow, 20, and 73 tomorrow with a 20% chance. Here you go. You guys ready? 20 bundles of nice leafy alfalfa, small squares, 80 to 90 pound bales, $15 a bale, 580-660-1622. The same gentleman, he's in Cordell. He has a bandit, bale, what do they call it? Yeah, a bandit, where they Bundle Bandit is what it is. He's wanting to sell with a 348 John Deere small square baler. If you guys are interested and you want one of those bandit bundlers, whatever you want to call that, I've got some pictures, but call him at 580-660-1622. It looks like they've been very well taken care of, both machines. I don't know if he'll sell them separate or together, but there you have it. 580-660-1622. And music's playing, but yeah, it's a really nice looking bale bandit. There we go. Bandit. BAND/IT. Slant. It's in really good shape. No rust. I mean, it's just been in really good shape if you're interested in it. See you guys tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City, and Sarah America. God bless everybody.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.